about God who can eat or find enjoyment. That's true both physically and spiritually for us, and we lean on Him. We thank God for the praises to Him from different folks. It was a wonderful blessing. Forbes magazine a couple years ago did a survey on jobs and people's satisfaction in jobs, and they simply asked the question, would you change jobs if you had a chance to do so? You don't like your job to the extent where you'd gladly take another one if it was similar in terms of what it did, or maybe a nut, you know, different area you always wanted to try, but the same amount of income. And surprisingly, 70% of people said, yeah, sign me up for the change. You know, all of us probably at one time or another have said, take this job, I'm not working here no more. Or at least we have that attitude occasionally, once in a blue moon. And Solomon struggled with that. If you were listening to the Bible, he said, I hate some of the toil I've done. I hate my life because I look at the work and I wonder what the purpose of it is. He said, I despair. I'm anxious. I toil. I can't sleep. All that is a result of thinking about the responsibilities we have, which are sometimes more thorns and thistles than fruitfulness. Reminded me of a true story back in 1982 of a fellow named Larry Walters. He wanted to be a pilot in the Air Force, really had a dream to do that. But his vision was bad, and so he got canned from that opportunity. Ended up being a part-time truck driver, still wanting to fly. And so he got some of his friends to purchase 45 weather balloons, hook them up to a lawn chair that he had ready and raring to go, got himself a BB gun, a sandwich, and something to drink, tied his lawn chair and weather balloons to the bumper of his car, and had the BB gun there to shoot the balloons when he was allegedly going to descend nice and calmly. And so there he was, ready to go. And friends cut the ropes going to the car bumper, and instead of going up rather slowly, he shot up rapidly to 15,000 feet in the air. He was from California, as you wouldn't be surprised to know. And so he ended up in the air lanes of L.A. air traffic, and one pilot, you know, Radio Don, there's a guy up here sitting in a lawn chair with a rifle. And so, of course, the police had to come and try to get him down. He was had no control once he was up there, ended up over the ocean, ended up over the Long Beach area, and descended into some power lines, which caused a blackout in a significant amount of the city. So that's what happens when you hate your job. He was asked afterwards, why did you do that? And he said this. He said, I just couldn't sit there and do nothing. Okay, I just couldn't sit there and do nothing. And some of us would have that thought on the job, perhaps, you know, am I doing anything constructive in the long run? I just can't sit here and do nothing. Some would respond to loving or not loving their family that way. You have your family, you get frustrated with it, you get tired, allegedly, of your investing in relationships, and you say, "That, you know, float me away. I just can't sit here and do nothing and not love." Some of us treat Christian fellowship like that. You come to worship and say, you know, what is the point? Is the point really God? Getting to know Him and loving somebody else? And if you don't love, you'll do the Larry Walters thing. King Solomon said this. He said, I hated the toil that I had. It was difficult. And I hated life because my work was grievous. I hated all the things that I had toiled for. And Solomon, he was a really successful person as far as human standards. You might say he was the Bill Gates, Warren Buffett guy in his generation. Accomplished a lot of things. First one to build the temple for God's people. Really holy moment. Built these huge gardens. He was known all over the known world at that point for his wealth. Built a great fortress at Megiddo, apparently, that you could still visit it today if you go to the Middle East. And when he saw that, verse 22, he said, I was anxious for all the things that were there. Because he thought about, well, that's good that I did this, but what's going to happen when my hands are off of it? I have to let it go to somebody behind me. And they didn't work for it. They're just going to get their hands on it. What if they muck it up and destroy it? Be like, as Kevin was playing the bells today, use them in a way to honor God. What if, next year somebody says, I'm playing the bells too. And they get up there and they scratch up the bells and break half of them. And it turns into just bad experience. You say, well, that was heartbreaking. Solomon's fears played out when he thought about his work, because the one who inherited all his work was his son Rehoboam, who was a really bad apple. Took what Solomon had made, pretty much blew it all, split God's people in two. So all he did was war against each other. He overtaxed people, didn't love the Lord. How'd you like to have all the hard work you ever did and you pass it on into depravity? And you say, what was the point of that? How does that honor God in the long run? And someday you and I are going to be in Solomon's shoes. A lot of the things we have our hands on now, materially and the functions that we do, we're just going to have to say goodbye to them. You and I don't even have to think, is the economy going to get worse? So we'll have to say goodbye to them. We're going to definitely say goodbye to them, because we have an appointment to, in the grace of God, lay in a box, and people can visit us at Snyder's or Shirley's, and we're not taking anything with us. Okay, get the reality of that. None of this is coming with us. And so Solomon, he faces that. He's concerned. He's anxious. He's fearful. He's depressed. By the way, if you get depressed and anxious, often those two things go together. Just looking for an anchor for your soul, to be reminded by God that you're valuable to Him. He loves you unconditionally. Jesus said He'd give you His peace. God can help you with those things. Pray to God about that. Talk to another believer about those problems. And verse 22 and 23, classic verses about the job being bad. Solomon says, sums up by saying, what does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving for which he labors? And then he turns the corner, which you and I can do by the grace of God. He says, I have found there's really nothing better than to thank God for the daily bread He does give us. I found that I can eat and drink and find satisfaction in all my work. This is from the hand of God. So he sees all this meaningless potential, but he stops and says, wait a minute. God is in this. God is in the work that I do. It's not pointless. Chapter 3, verse 11, God's Word says, God has set eternity in man's heart. Isn't that a great thing? We're not just mucking around thinking, okay, we got 100 years to jam in whatever we want to jam in life, and then that's it. No, He puts eternity in our hearts. Oh, we can live with God forever as a gift. And what we do now has everything to do with that. This life is not all there is. It's not just the kingdom of Solomon or the kingdom of you and me. It's the kingdom of God. It's going to roll on. And so our life and work counts. And this is true, a Bible truth. God's hand is in our work, our calling, whether we be a teacher or an engineer or a laborer or a carpenter like Jesus or a roofer. If you need a roofer lately, thank the Lord for the roofers. We needed a roofer at the church. Needed a roofer at our own house. Those kind of things. God gave you the job you have, and you work for Him. That's the message Solomon is dealing with. God gave you the job that you have, and you work for Him. You don't work for yourself. You don't work for the company store. And you don't owe your soul to that, but you work for God. Your boss is a Jewish carpenter, as an old T-shirt says. If Jesus was the head of a firm, you would be a part of Christ and Associates firm. of work. And that's a Bible truth. You could say, I'm co-laboring with somebody who knows what's going on, and my life can count for forever. And even in our lives, if we're put on hold for a while, and we don't appear to be laboring outside the home, but we are still laboring. You know, we're laboring to keep relationships good. We're laboring to help people know Christ. Laboring to love children. What are you working on? I'm working on my family life. That's a great thing to work on. Don't neglect that. You know, some of us will say, I was a fantastic manager at my store. But I put no work, no investment of time and energy into wife and children. And when you're 70 and the company waves goodbye, you know, they're not going to be sticking with you in the long run. But relationships would stick with you. So that's something Solomon had to deal with in his pursuits. Looking at some of the applications, because we want to get to some life testimonies quickly. Our work being from God's hand, nobody has a higher calling of work than you do. God put you exactly where He wants you to be. Robert Morgan says, for His honor, even if it's a timeout situation. Tom Chilkin, ex-Steeler, in his testimony, he says he worked after 4 years of college and an attempt at pro football. He worked cleaning toilets at a jumping jacks place, you know, where they do jumping jacks to stay in shape. How's that for a humbling job? But he said he grew in the Lord, and he waited for God to open the door. And the fact that work is from God's hand means no work is beneath you. No work is beneath you. It's a chance to honor God. When I think of some of the smaller jobs I've had that were important, cleaning junior high toilets in schools. That was thrilling, but it was necessary. Okay, and cleaning bathrooms where people became nauseated. I got a technique on that. You need a can of Lysol and plan on using about half the can. And you go in there 30 seconds at a time to do warfare. But God has you where He wants you to serve Him. Your times are in His hands. False views of work. Solomon struggled with, we do too. Work is a necessary evil. No, it's a blessing. We work for the weekend, right? That's an old song by some stoner rocker guy. That's not true. We work especially for money. Work is more than a fundraiser. One good way to think of your work is, if there was no fall of humanity, no sin in the world, and if there were nobody who needed to serve Christ, you could still do your job to the glory of God and to the blessing of other people and the fulfillment of yourself. So it's not just to give money so you can send a missionary wherever they're going to get sent. That's good that happens. And it's not just to stash away money so I can get the house I want, the car I want, and the church I want. Some people live for that. That's called idolatry. See, whatever you're working for, you're worshiping. Don't work especially just to gain things. Or to think work earns you dignity, makes you who you are. No, we are who we are because of Christ. And Solomon was that. Some good news on work. Solomon put it to practice. All work is sacred. Very, very special from God. You labor to honor Him. Your work is from the hand of God. A great illustration of this was the runner back in the 1920s from Scotland. When he ran in the Olympics serving his country, he said, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel His pleasure. You could put your name in that. That could be your testimony about work. God made me to help children. And when I serve this way, I feel His pleasure. God made me to build roofs. And And when I serve Him this way, I feel His pleasure. And some people are great stewards in shopping. God made me to be wise in shopping. And when I serve Him that way, I feel His pleasure. That's God's calling in your life. It's a holy time. It's from Him. You work for God and you co-labor with Him. Work heartily for the Lord and not for men. And then for one final application, crucially important, is that turning to Christ is greater than all human work put together. Work's very special. But God will let us know we can't work to be at peace with God, nor can we work to get our way to heaven, to earn heaven. Christ has done that for us at the cross. And you take all the labors that we've ever done, compare Him next to Jesus, and Jesus shines far above. And looking at Him adds meaning to our work in the long run. You think of some contemporary examples. Bill Gates, for example, a super hard worker, genius kind of guy. One of his goals is to get a computer in the hands of every child on the continent of Africa. That's a good goal. I mean, he's working like crazy to get it done. So the children will be blessed. They'll have information. They'll have a tool. But all of that information, all those tools, are not as important as one child, turning to Christ for eternity. Or one man, Bill Gates, who has not turned to Christ, turning to Christ and saying, you know, I gained the whole world, but I almost lost my soul. And it didn't profit me anything to do that. To turn to Christ and know His goodness on your behalf. You be the one person to turn to Christ and His great work. And He'll give you dignity and strength for the wonderful work He's called you to. And every task and offering to God, if you could catch that. You say, God made me to do this, and when I serve Him, I feel His pleasure, and we co-labor with Him. Might we do that in this good calling that He does for us? Let's pray to...